click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Pivot Point
on Kaya Biz.
Tonight, I'm incredibly excited to speak to someone who's an incredible leader when it comes to the banking fraternity in South Africa. Typically, we describe him as a bean counter, someone who crunches the numbers. But of course, numbers go hand in hand with all things to do with strategy. And if you consider that in the banking environment, we've seen so many evolutions over the years, not only digital becoming a key player, artificial intelligence, but of course, making sure that adequate solutions are provided to meet the needs of you and I as individuals, the businesses that we start, and the big corporates that are involved in shaping and evolving South Africa's economy. Banking in South Africa is certainly one of the leading industries that's at the forefront of economic development and economic insight. To tell us more, we're joined by one of the leaders of one of the leading banks in South Africa, that is Harry Kellen. He's the Chief Executive Officer of First National Bank, more popularly known as FNB. Such a pleasure to have you in studio, Harry.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. Yeah,
Thank you. Evening
to your listeners.
I'm excited. I know it's taken a while, but glad to have you with us in studio, as well as Jackie joining us, who is also a very important player within the FNB team, taking care of stakeholder relations. Harry, you have an important job as a banking CEO, hey? I often comment, and naturally we touch on this when it comes to company results or leadership conversations with yourself in the bank, that literally you have the luxury of witnessing what happens in the economy from a 360 point of view, whether it's us in our individual capacities, right up to big corporates individuals and organizations shaping the economy.
So, Google, I mean, I would actually say I'm lucky. I've got a great team. So they actually have the big jobs.
Yeah.
I just every now and again have to make sure I don't mess their great job up. But you're right. Banks are critical in the middle. You know, it's like cash flow is the bloodline of any business, mm-hmm. but it's a bloodline of the entire economy.
Mm.
Personal, small businesses, large business. And all of the cash movement is transactions.
Mm.
And there's volumes and volumes of data. And, I mean, we've got lots of teams understanding it, the economics teams, making sure we understand where, what's happening, who are the ones that are succeeding, where are the pressure points.
Yeah.
And to be honest, without the flow of funds into the economy where banks play a critical role, actually you can actually stall an economy, which is, it doesn't sound like it's possible, but, you know, it's a critical role,
yeah,
as an industry.
I'm so glad you highlight that, because also banks typically don't necessarily get the recognition they deserve in South Africa, especially when we draw an international comparison. I'm always reminded back of a case study regarding the global financial crisis, where our banks actually stood their ground, held their own. And maybe that's another area that we can just emphasize in tonight's conversation, regarding the tough regulatory requirements that you go through actually do work in our favor, as well as the benefit of the South African economy.
For sure. You know, I always get a question every now and again, what keeps me awake at night?
Yes.
And the statement I make is, we take care of other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about advances and lending. It's about making sure safety is there for other people's money. That's fundamental what banking is about. And that's why you got to have regulations.
Mm.
And it's highly regulated, and that's a good thing. And as you rightly said, in the GFC, South African banks were quite resilient relative to international. And that's also, I mean, we've got to give credit to, we've got a strong regulatory team sitting with the Prudential Authority,
yeah,
at SARB. And they actually probably more the early adopters of anything that comes out from Basel and the international front.
Yes.
As much as sometimes we'll argue with them to go, hey, hold on, can you just give us some time to implement? But they are they actually part of the leading pack. And most people don't realize necessarily how critical a role they actually play.
Yeah.
Into the piece. Yes, it costs us money for compliance, etc., but that's actually important always.
Yeah, 100%. It's like having, you know, playing soccer without a referee, right? You need someone there to monitor the controls to say, that's offside. This is the goalpost, and this is the direction that we're all trying to walk towards.
For sure.
As an industry. Speaking of that, Harry, this is a part that does get me very excited, because I am aware that this is also something internally that through your peers within the organization, RMB specifically. There have been ongoing developments, research and insight into making sure that FNB actively participates in the changing world of payments in the country. And I think for us as South Africans, we typically tap our phones, we tap our cards, you quickly process an EFT, you send money through e-wallet as well, and boom, Bob's your uncle. You know, someone else has the money on the other side. But what we take for granted is the intricacies that are involved in the background to make sure that when I send money to you, it actually does go to you effectively, timeously, and of course, following through with the right governance controls. Help us understand as FNB how you're viewing the regulatory proposals and shifts around payments, where there's going to be an even playing field between banks as well as the non-bank players.
So I think you quite summarized it, an even playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, banks, highly regulated, etc. Payments is what moves money around. Okay, so when we say taking care of other people's money, it flows through payments, whether, as you said, it can be in any form.
Yeah.
Tapping your glass on the phone kind of thing. And it's payments, it's got to be instantaneous around, and we do banking 24/7 these days.
Yeah.
Whether you do EFT, you could even do EFT internationally, etc. So it's the world, actually, intricacies around it. But the safety part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, we always talk about safety first in any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that regulatory framework that the Reserve Bank is spending a lot of time to make sure, while opening up the payments to a much wider participation base, fintechs in particular, is making sure there's appropriate regulation in place.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm aware that your head of payments, the executive who recently took up that role, has also been doing a lot of research in that team. And maybe this is also an opportunity just for us to understand FNB's positioning in that place, space for clients, but for the bank as well and the economy at large.
Yeah, so you're right. So Gordon has previously ran the commercial business within FNB, and recently from January is now at Group, heading up as an executive for payments. And that's how seriously we take it.
Mm.
So FNB will be on the retail and commercial side of it, RMB significantly on the corporate side of it.
Yes.
Linked to payments is also a reduction of cash. So you want to digitize as much as possible, and we know why cash, because effectively, you know, the safety around cash, A, it costs a lot to keep it safe,
right,
and B, everybody wants it.
Mm.
But we do know that more cash moves in ones and zeros than in physical notes. Globally and in South Africa, actually,
gotcha,
if you look at that around. So it's one of the things that you continually have to invest in.
Mm.
You've got to continually understand behavioral changes of your customers, and it comes back to understanding data.
Mm.
Yeah. So sometimes by understanding data, you've got to look and say, what is the behavior changing? And even before customers become aware of their needs into the future, you've got to be able to create solutions of it,
yeah,
based on where you see behaviors. And that's how come cell phone banking or app banking got to be even before. And sometimes you've got to look at it and say, okay, where are we seeing pressure points?
Yeah.
And is it right that so much volume of flows go into that area? And is there creating some systemic issues? So the data analysis is not always to say what can be served. Sometimes you actually see some noise, and you got to say, okay, is it right that you're seeing noise?
100%. Maybe let's touch on that noise. As you say that, I'm already thinking about fraud as a key theme, right? And whenever I log onto my app and you see that little loud hailer with the yellow signal saying, hey, make sure that you alert to fraud and phishing, and even making sure that you're paying the right person, even if it's something as simple as an e-wallet. Talk to us about that, because for many of us as South Africans, there's just this, I guess, perception that the world is a safe place, and that in a digital world that crime and financial fraud isn't something that can impact us. But what are you seeing in terms of that theme and trend? And maybe that can also take us into the broader landscape around AI, data and technology for the bank.
For sure, Guru. So I'll start off with, when people have money in their wallet, they make sure it's in the wallet, in the right place, and, you know, because people want to get it, you don't get pickpocketed, or you don't want to get mugged, or you don't want to go,
sure,
and it's a physical note.
Sometimes it's not a wallet, eh? For a lot of aunties, it's a...
undergarment. I can see exactly where your hand are pointing. I agree. But digital payment is also that. So when you make an instant payment, it's like giving someone a 100 note.
Mm.
Okay. It's not that, oh, I made an instant payment and, oh, I made a mistake and I want to get it back again. It's like you gave the wrong person.
Mm.
Instead of giving you, Gugu, that I owe you 100 and I gave it to Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie walks away. I can't go and say, Jackie, come and get it back. So consumers must continually be aware that when you make a payment, especially if you're making instant payments. It is instant. It is gone.
Yeah.
And then, but more than that is this thing about identity and fishing around it.
Yes.
Because that's the only way people can get into getting your details to be able to get to your money.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be alert. And yeah, we put out lots of education. We continue, as you said, put alerts to customers, etc. And we will continue to do that because the modus also changes. Fraud is a business.
Mm.
And I know it sounds odd, but people invest significant amounts of money into that business of fraud to take away other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we invest significantly in making sure that they are not successful in their part of that business.
Mm-hmm.
And all the time. And we continually do simulations, et cetera, and making sure that we cover that piece. It's a reality of life, unfortunately. And we've got to be vigilant. Physical world and digital world. Yeah.
100%. If you've just joined us, it's 16 minutes after 7 o'clock. We are in conversation with Harry Kellen. He is the CEO of FNB, giving us some insight into his professional journey, coupled with that, some insight into the banking world. And in a moment, we'll just deep dive into, you know, understanding a little bit more about leadership and leadership themes that certainly do pop up in terms of your career. I guess, Harry, another theme that I'm quite keen to touch on, and I'm aware that there are some sensitivities around the numbers given that results still have yet to come out. But for many of us as South African citizens, and given the theme that you've described, we often sit and we wonder, what's the future of banking going to be like? And I ask this because in the early 90s, the ATM was still something, I guess, newly launched and something exciting, you know, literally getting money from a hole in the wall. I remember going to school and my dad signing a checkbook and handing it to me to say, hey, go to the office and go pay your school fees. And we look at where we are with the world now and completely vast, right? Everything literally sits here within the palm of your hand, given the devices that we have. But when you look at the markets you operate in, largely on the continent, and of course in South Africa, what does the future of banking look like? And how do you see FNB playing a critical role in that space?
So, Gugu, it will change to be different. Like you said, now we don't write any checks. Mm. But before, checks was normal. Mm. And it's not too long ago. It's probably like 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So if you look out 10, 15 years from now, I always get a question is, okay, are banks going to become part of the dinosaur age and banks don't exist? And I go, well, just step back a bit. Humans exist. Yes. Will humans exist? Do they have financial needs? Yes. We need to service that financial needs.
Uh-huh.
And what banks do is connect people between savers and those that want to actually lend money.
Yeah.
That's the connection piece, and we manage something called mismatch and interest rates and et cetera, because people give us money and they want it, and there's a promise overnight sometimes, but people want a home loan for 20 years, and that's what banks manage.
Yeah.
You could call it different things, but the reality is those needs don't disappear.
Yeah.
And therefore, the services that we currently offer will still be required. How we get to customers and deliver those services and financial products, that I guarantee you will look differently. Yeah, and I'm sure people will always ask me about, is the branch also dead? Is banking branches gone and everything's going to be digital? And I go, I learned a new word. So it's called phygital.
Phygital.
Phygital. Yeah, physical and digital. So it's PHY and in digital.
Gotcha.
And that's the reality of it. So it's digital every time. But when you need it and want it, when you want the physical, you need to get, and things do go wrong sometimes. Or sometimes there's a complex thing that you need to understand. You want to get to either talking to a person, physical, or walk into a branch, physical. The branch will evolve as it has before. I mean, we've already got, I think in most of our branches, it's much smaller space, and we probably have 3 counters maybe, most of them. But I remember those days going at my dad when I was small, how many years ago? Very young. And there was like a row of counters, probably like 10. So it will evolve. Maybe the counters disappear because, in fact, we've been taking those counters and making it physical but into devices out at forecourt at 24/7. So you can deposit your money. You don't have to go to a counter. All of that will change. And as you said, AI will fundamentally change. I mean, we're in a fourth industrial revolution, but they talk about frontier firms. And actually, AI is creating everyone of the in business world is actually your leading frontier firms.
Mm.
And by the definition of the frontier piece, it'll be very different as you go out. But I always remind people, but you know, things change in the first industrial revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those there's roles that have changed and disappeared, but there's new roles created, let alone the second industrial revolution, or the third for that matter, when computers came about. So AI will change the shape of it. Mm. But what I see now is lots of fear when I speak to people about AI.
Really?
Because I always hear the statement, okay, I'm going to lose my job because of AI. AI is going to take my job. I mean, I saw an announcement made, and I'm not going to pick up the bank, but it's a bank in Singapore that says, no, they bought things, maybe the CEO may be replaced by an AI agent. Perhaps.
Mm.
But again, humans don't disappear. Mm. It's different roles. And what I heard is that those that are using AI are the individuals that are going to be replacing people that don't use AI.
Got you.
So it's one of the things that it's got to be an adaptation of it. And the sooner you get comfortable with it, and you don't have to get into the intricacies and the complexity of what is it, the data and how much usage, etc.
Yep.
Yeah, it's whether, I mean, we don't get involved into the components of a laptop.
Exactly.
Your keyboard and you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, someone else can do the components of it, and there's lots of people that are much cleverer at that. So, yes.
Yeah, 100%. I love the gems that you're sharing, because you're sharing the practicalities of how we use AI as a tool to actually enhance your levels of productivity, your innovation, your thinking, and, of course, growth within any organization. So, really, the robots are not coming to take over, as we might have assumed a few years ago with the fourth industrial revolution.
And then Google IT's productivity. So, yeah. You look at what I do now, if I get a document and it's 8 pages document, I said, okay, I don't have time for 8 pages. I go into the agent, says, give me a summary. It gives me literally like a half a page or three quarter page. I read the gist of it and I go, okay, I need more information. Then I can hone into the document where I need more information and where not. So it saves hours for me, yeah. I must be honest. Now, it hasn't disappeared my job. I just get to be a bit more effective and actually do a little bit more exciting stuff.
Mm.
Then the mundane stuff, because everything good comes with bad. I mean, yeah, that's the reality of the universe.
100%.
And as long as I do more exciting stuff, it's even better.
I love that you talk about doing exciting stuff, because that really is, you know, an aspect of your job, you know, really helping to craft and build F&B going forward and what that does look like. But it didn't start that way back in 2005 when you joined the bank. I commented that you're a bean counter earlier, yes. Because you are a chartered accountant, but essentially have really maneuvered through the organization, F&B and First Rand as a group, serving the role of a CFO. And I often think that sometimes, you know, CFOs are superheroes in capes that aren't easily identifiable, because you make sure that the institution keeps to its metrics, whether we're talking jaws or return on equity net asset value and capital expenditure. These are all the metrics we get into when we talk company results, right?
Correct.
But you work alongside so many other members of the executive team to make sure that, hold on, guys, we can get excited, we can go that way and go this way, but it needs to make business sense. And that always comes down to the numbers. Talk to us about your passion about the numbers and the role of a CEO, the leadership lessons you can share regarding being a CFO and CEO within a banking institution.
You know, so, I mean, both roles are strategic.
Yeah.
CFOs can decide to be on the strategic part of it, or they only get caught in the production part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, if you are having the C in front of you, chief, then you're actually not in the production piece of it. You're actually in the piece of understanding those numbers,
yeah,
to drive strategy and work with the CEOs. But CEOs are actually meant to be blue sky forward.
Mm-hmm.
CFOs are meant to be grounded in the now and a year forward, or 2 years forward, or 3 years. And CEOs got to actually look beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the partnership between the CEO and CFO. And it's a strong partnership, and it's got to be a critical piece of it. But, I mean, I had the privilege of CFO roles in two different parts of it, full at group level and at F&B level. And it's about what you see and what you do with that set of information. It's data.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers tell you a story.
Yes.
Yeah, I always tell people, as a finance person, the month results, the game is paid. The scoreboard's on there already. You can't change it.
Yeah.
I mean, our woman Bocca trashed Brazil 66-6. You can't change the scoreboard.
100%.
But how you then take that scoreboard and figure out what's the game that's being played for the next one and the next one, that's the critical piece. So finance is about understanding that. And yes, every now and again, you got to get into the audit piece, and you got to get into technical, and you got a lovely IFRS and this and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. As I said, everything good comes with bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily saying IFRS is bad in different roles kind of thing. But even in a CEO role, I'll be honest with you, I want to understand from my CFO, I say, Gideon, Where are we this month? Give me the flash where it is. Because understanding business, you have to understand the numbers.
Mm.
Because it's about, you know, but now I'm probably looking at more different kind of things. What is my transaction volumes? Where am I getting? What's our customer growth? What's my level of complaints? How are we servicing customers?
Gotcha.
Are the complaints going up or down? So it's not just the P&L in itself. It's the how do we get there? And, you know, strategy, P&L is an outcome of a strategy.
Mm.
And strategy is fundamental. We exist to service customers. We exist to service communities. And that's the matrix for me as a CEO. That's my more fundamental matrix is how are we doing it, doing our job.
Yeah.
And our customers, and are they happy, not happy, what can we do, evolve, and then the numbers flow from there.
Yeah, 100%. I get excited because I could see you go into the technical details, right? P&L, profit and loss for those who aren't aware. but of course, going back to people and largely focused on customers and how you actually address their needs. But you've also led people within your team, within the organization, and that too must come with a lot of lessons. And you've journeyed through many shifts, changes and waves, whether it's the COVID-19 pandemic, whether it's a global financial crisis, whether it's the tech bubble that we've also witnessed. You've really had to steer individuals through some tough times, given the various roles you've led within the bank. And I'm quite keen, you know, to hear from you. What are some of the key leadership lessons that have stuck with you in your career, largely at the bank, when it comes to leading people and bringing the best out of them within the institution?
So I think the first one is, and it's linked maybe back to what Ferson always talks about empowerment, is I'm leading leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They're not working for me. We work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fundamental mindset. Because if someone's working for me, then I must have all the answers.
Mm.
Okay? And to kind of do, that's management. Okay?
Got
depending
you.
On different levels. When you're sitting on a leadership table, what you got to do is, my job as a CEO is to make sure that we get to understanding the strategy, align, and we all go into the same direction, and then get out of the way. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm surrounding myself with people that are cleverer and better than I am.
Yes.
Don't be in their way. So that's what empowerment is. Actually, they are much better at it. They got to do. And we just come as a team together and make sure, are we going in the right direction? Where's the future, et cetera, around the piece. And you'll be surprised that sometimes you need to, it's difficult sometimes to actually get out of the way. But if you've got good people, don't be in their way.
Mm.
Because actually, that's when you kind of like stifle things.
Mm.
Get out of the way. I mean, that's the best lesson I've learned in many, many times. Surround yourself with good people and then let them do what they're best at. You know, empower them, help when needed, and let go. You know? But I mean, you're right. It's different stages, different roles, different kind of thing. But banking is a people's business.
Yeah.
You know, your customers are people.
Yeah.
Our staff are people. Technology is fundamental in banking. It always has been. But technology will not exist without our people.
100%.
Yeah, so you got to have the approach to people about empathy, understanding, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say to people, I've got one mouth but two ears, which means I must listen two times more than I talk. And I see sometimes, and I remind leaders that, hold on, just pause, listen, because you'll be getting much more. Yeah. And the other part of leaders is you must be comfortable with the unknown and be comfortable of not knowing the answer.
Mm.
But you'll get there and you'll call a friend or many friends, and between many brains you can get to the ultimate answer. But be very comfortable of being uncomfortable.
To close off with, I typically ask this question to a lot of women, and recently recognized that it's unfair that we don't ask our male counterparts the same question. So no, it's not about work-life balance, but it is about, as you reflect on your leadership in a professional environment and how you bring that to young leaders within the environment that you might mentor, but also to your three lovely children, who I understand are the greatest highlight of your life. I'm quite keen to understand, when you look at the generational shifts that are taking place, what it is that young leaders in South Africa, your children, the young professionals you work with, and maybe even the young clients who interact with FNB, need to be mindful of as we prioritize the growth and development of our economy, but also of our people.
You know, people say exuberance of youth.
Yes.
But, you know, they are the future. And the world they're living in now, I mean, compared to when I grew up at their age, well, we didn't have phones, let alone TikTok or social media.
Mm.
The amount of pressures that the young generation have now is so much more compared to what we had before.
Mm-hmm.
Before, we could walk on the streets and kick a ball and maybe get into trouble if you put a cricket ball to a glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get in trouble by making wrong words on a Twitter kind of account. But at the end, you got to be grounded. My kids keep me grounded. Yeah, when I get home, I'm the last in order. Yeah. So at the bank, maybe CEO, and they go, okay, Harry, you're the CEO, so we must listen to you.
Yeah.
At home, I got to beg them to listen to me, kind of thing. But that's also good. Because I always tell people, the title doesn't define who you are as a person.
Mm.
Yeah. So one day I've got an F in the middle, and the next day I've got an E in the middle, and it's a different title.
Mm.
But actually, we got to inculcate our youngsters to be able to be confident enough to ask the questions to learn. You know, I learned only when I started articles that actually you got to be constantly learning. Because if you're not, you are being left behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the debate with the youngsters is, but why do I got to go to school? And why I got to learn this? And why I got to do maths? And why I got to do that? You know, and then when they get to university, they go, oh, it's a drudgery. And I go, gee whiz, guys, you have no idea how beautiful university is because you're an adult.
Yeah.
You know, I had more
but
money in my pocket.
But childlike responsibilities, right?
Correct.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's always, you know, the old adage, I remember my dad used to say, you know, when I was young, I used to walk to school. And I go, but I don't need to walk anymore. Fair enough. We move with technology. But, yeah, so we must just take care of our young people.
Yeah.
And actually also listen to them because, yeah, you know, I mean, I always ask my kids, are you happy? Yeah, you know, it's not about me being happy with you. Are you happy? Is there something I can help you with? Is something troubling you? And it's it's that 5 minutes maybe I'm spending with them, but I'll ask them kind of thing. But I'm also guilty sometimes because then sometimes I'm looking at an email or a WhatsApp and then they say something and they go, but Dad, you're not listening to me. As I said, they ground you very quickly. So, but yeah, I mean, that's who I work for actually.
Ah, Harry. You couldn't have left this interview without another better line. That's who you work for. And I think it's a beautiful reminder for so many of us as South Africans who wake up, sit through traffic, you know, sift through emails, sit in sometimes uncomfortable meetings in person or online, whether we've got nothing to contribute, our mics might be on mute, but ultimately in showing up for productivity. And as you've displayed, leadership is about listening. It's about supporting the people and the team that you surround yourself with who can provide the answers. But as we build businesses, industries, let's also remember that we do this for the communities and the families that we come from. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
Pleasure's mine. Gugu, thank you very much and a happy evening to your listeners and thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much. Next time I talk to you, it will probably be all about numbers, right?
Perfect.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
That is the CEO of FNB joining us tonight, Harry Kellen, reflecting on Pivot Point tonight. As you've heard, we've spoken about the evolution of banking, some key leadership skills and insight, and most importantly, a refreshing perspective around how youth, family and community really sit at the center of what all of us do in our day-to-day lives.
Pivot Point on Kaya Biz. Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.